how far we get, but we're going to take off, okay? With some guys hunting in Alaska, and they had to get on a plane to get there to where they was going, and then they got on another short field plane to take off to a little further, and they took off, and they didn't make it very far. They crashed into trees, and the guy said, "What's that spot back there?" He said, "That's where they made it last year." He said, "Every year we make it a little bit further, so I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll see where we get and stop where we land where we get, right?" Romans chapter 6, talking about the wonderful grace of Jesus. What would we do if we didn't have the wonderful grace of Jesus? That first verse said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?" It's like once you find out that salvation is by grace and that you're saved, and you say, "Well, I can never be punished again. Christ took all my punishment, so I can just do out and do whatever I want to." God said, "God forbid." Who'd want to do that? Why would you want to sin just because he's taken away your sins and it doesn't matter anymore? So we have that wonderful grace of Jesus. We have people that say, and three things I would like to get across this morning. We'll try. Number one, I want you to go out knowing, and hopefully you are saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus, but knowing that salvation is only by the grace of Jesus. Number two, that you are kept by that wonderful grace of Jesus. And number three, that you can live in this present world till he calls you home by that wonderful grace of Jesus. They used to say, well, some of the people that didn't know any better, they'd say, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But we got to do something to help him out. The Old Testament's all about law. The New Testament's all about grace. That's not true. That's in the Old Testament, Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know he wasn't perfect. You know, when we think about salvation, there's one thing we need to understand. God doesn't throw anybody away. Anybody can come. Whosoever will may come. He died on that cross for the worst sinner, the people that you might dislike, the people you might hate, the people you might not want to have anything to do with, but he died for their sins too. He died for us, died for me, died for you, died for all of us. That was the wonderful grace of Jesus, and he's the only one who could do it. So we have that thought, and Noah built that ark as a symbol of what Christ did for us. We find that God showed grace to Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman. We know that they sinned. God didn't throw them away. God didn't give up on them. They went out and realized they was naked, so they got fig leaves and sewed them together and tried to cover themselves up the best they could. That's the very picture of people that come to the Lord and think they can do something. Well, I went to church Sunday. Well, I gave an offering Sunday. That's just fig leaves. That's all that is. What you need is the wonderful grace of Jesus to cover you. God said there has to be the death. And God gave the picture of salvation and slew an animal so that they might have salvation, that they might be saved. God doesn't throw anybody away. He made them so they're going to come in. God doesn't get rid of us. He just works on us. And I like that song. He's still working on me. God gave grace to Lot. And the story's found there in Genesis 19. And it said, this is after all the fire and Lot's wife and tearing down the cities because of homosexuality. And there wasn't anybody left but Lot and his two daughters. The Bible said they went up in the mountain and they were hiding in caves. And think of here's a man that God spared from this, excuse me a minute here. that God spared out of that city of Sodom and Gomorrah and was all mixed up in that mess of homosexuality. And now here his daughters get him drunk and conceive a plan whereby they'll become with child by their own father. What kind of mess? He's got out of this mess. And you see, that's the way the sin is. Like Grusso's talking about, the crazy thing they call marriage today and stuff has not anything to do with God. We're in a terrible mess down here. And when, like him, if you can't think of what to vote for, you sure think of what to vote against. The crazy stuff that's going on. The kind of world that we're handing our kids. It's terrible. So they concocted that plan. And it shows you, people say to me, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about not drinking. Boy, if I didn't have another verse, if I didn't have another place to go in the Bible to read, except Genesis 19:30-38, how these two virgin daughters got their father drunk and then had conceived child by their own father. Is there any more reason than to say, hey, I want to stay away from something that will strip you of your morals and pollute your mind to the degree that you would do something like that? Think of the terribleness of that. Got to open up, Pastor Oz. Got to have a little fun. Got to have a few spirits. And a few spirits brings on more spirits. And notice that the younger daughter goes in first, and then the next night she entices the other. Sin entices sin. That's what sinners do. They try to get other people to come with them and do the crazy stuff they're going. Well, you'd think after all that, God would say, look, I spared this man, brought him out of that Sodom and Gomorrah, got him out of there. Now he goes and gets all mixed up in this kind of a mess. But God's grace was there. God took care of him again. Isn't the wonderful grace of God good? Isn't the grace of Jesus Christ good? So we see, thirdly, that Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses committed murder, Exodus 2:15, and the king found out about it, Pharaoh. You know, Moses got raised up. He was spared by his mother because they were drowning all the male boys, killing all of them, feeding them to the alligators or however they were doing it. But his mother's got him spared. And so now he's raised in the king's court. And he sees one of the king's men beating up on one of the Jewish people, and so he kills him, and then he runs. That's another thing that sin does to you. When you do sin, you want to run and hide. The only place you can hide from sin is in Jesus Christ and under his wonderful grace. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from the judgment of God. And God will track you down. And if you don't find the grace, hell is the only place left for you. But Moses found grace, come back and became the leader to bring them out. God doesn't throw people away. God takes what the world throws away and says, here, I'm going to save this man. I'm going to save this woman. I'm going to save this girl. I'm going to save them. I'm going to use them for my work here on this earth. That's what God does. We've talked about David many times in his passages on grace. Think about David. God said he was a man after his own heart. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was a thief. Stole another man. Did all these bad things. But God gave him grace. And after he'd committed all this stuff, made another man's wife pregnant, he tried to get him to stay at home so he would think that he did it. What kind of evil man would do all this evil and keep piling up? That's another thing sin does. One sin begets another sin. Another sin. We keep piling it on. Keep bringing it on and on and on and on. But God's grace worked. We find his prayer where he gave his life to God. We find Peter, big mouth Peter. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Remember what Peter said? Nobody will ever get you, said to Jesus. I'll defend you. And he tried to fulfill his promise. Remember when they came to the garden to try to capture Jesus? He took a sword and tried to cut the man's head off, and the man ducked, and he just got his ear, and Jesus picked it up and put it back. Made that big statement. Be careful what you say you're going to do. The Lord said, you know, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. You'll deny me. And then Peter was standing at the fire of the enemy. Think of that. Here's this brave man that was going to defend Jesus. He becomes this coward. He's hiding in the dark of the night over here with the enemy. And one woman said, you sound like one of those people, the way you talk. You talk that kind of language of a Nazarite. The Bible says he stomped and cursed and said, I know not the man. And here's Jesus over there in Pilate's hall looking at him. Remember, Peter, what you said? You said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll defend you to the death. And here he is, cursing, stamping at the fire. But God gave him grace. And we know later on he became that famous preacher on the day of Pentecost when thousands of souls were saved. God didn't throw him away. God had to clean him up. God had to chasten him. Sometimes God has to do the same things to us when we won't follow. But he brought him back to the Lord. So what I'm trying to get across with this point is there is no one too bad for Jesus. If we come to him, his grace will cover the worst sin. People say, well, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. Nobody else needs to know that, but God knows it, and you need to confess it to God and come to him, and God will take you. The first thing you need to do, now remember this, because if you don't get this right, nothing else will be right. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, be sure you are saved by grace. Be sure you didn't just walk in a church and join a church. You didn't just say some words, but you really trusted Christ and his grace and nothing else. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You didn't buy it. You didn't purchase. You didn't do anything to earn it. You couldn't do that. It's only by his wonderful grace. For by grace are you saved. It's a gift of God. It was given to you and to me, that wonderful gift of salvation. We owed a debt we could not pay. And he paid a debt he did not owe. And that was for my sin and your sin. So be sure that you know that you are saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus. You're not just a church member. You're not just somebody who thinks it's okay. Everything's okay. I'm all right. I do a lot of good for people. I help people out. Oh, I do this and I do that. That does not by works of righteousness which we have done, the Bible says, but by the wonderful grace of Jesus. So write that down somewhere in your Bible. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And if not, we want to get that settled today. Amen. Know for sure that you're saved. Number two, you're kept by that grace. You can't keep yourself saved. Some people think they get saved and then they lose. You can't lose something you didn't have anything to do with. The only thing you did was receive it. Through Jesus Christ's grace, he says in John 1:16, and of his fullness. Fullness of what? Full of grace. That's what he's full of, love and grace. And of his grace have all we received, and grace for grace. He keeps us by that grace. Do I sin? Sure. Do you? None of us perfect. We should sin less. We should, God forbid that we should continue in sin, he said. But we walk by that grace, and we're kept by that grace of Jesus Christ. I've got three points I want you to see about living the life of grace. And they're found in Colossians chapter 3. The verses will be on the board. First of all, in chapter 3, verse 1 in Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek, underline that word seek. We went over that in a sermon here about a couple of weeks ago, where he said we're to knock, we're to seek, we're to search. You want to live with this wonderful grace of Jesus Christ, you seek the things of God. Oh, now that we're saved, we can't get lost, so we can do what we want to. No, God forbid. Seek the things that are of God. Seek His Word. Seek His people. Seek His service. Seek to be for God. Be seeking Him. People who seek God don't have as much time for the things of sin in the world, because it takes a lot of time to seek and to grow. So the first thing is seek. Number two, in verse 2, Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above. The things that I love has to be set in my mind, in my heart, that these are the things of God. These are the things I want to do. These are the things I want to be. We don't just sing a song and practice a pretense and then go home and say, well, I'm okay, and next time we'll get another shot at it. No. We keep setting goals for our affection to be on Christ, to be like Him. You have trouble with something in your life. You know that it's wrong. You have trouble with somebody. You know that's wrong. You set these goals of Christ. What would He do? How would He handle the situation? Set your affections on the things of God, not on the things of the world. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do what the world does. And then you become just like the world. And God's saying, no. Set your affection on things that are above, looking for those things that are higher. The hymn writer said, things that are higher. These have allured my sight. I'm not looking down, I'm looking up to my wonderful friend who supplies the grace of God. Number 3 and verse 3, for you're dead. That part of your life, he said, is dead with Christ. When Christ was buried and paid your sin debt, he took your sins and your dead body and buried them with his, covered him with his perfect body. Your imperfect body and my imperfect body was covered with his perfectness. And it was perfect. Excuse me again a second. So, he says, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The world may want to hang your sins out for the world to see, but not God. God says, what sins are you talking about? Buried in the deepest sea. That's good enough for me. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. How does all this work, Pastor Hodge? I do not know, but I know it works. Here's a verse that you want to leave with and hang on to. Jude, verse 24. The last book over there before the book of Revelation. Look what he says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You see, when I start to sin, I start falling. Christ reached down and picks me up and pulls me to his bosom and holds me and doesn't let me fall. He doesn't want me to fall. I can't fall because I'm in the arms of Jesus, safe and secure, taken care of. And notice what he does. He takes you and presents you faultless. Now, we know we're not faultless. I'm not faultless. You're not faultless. We're all guilty in some form of sin or the other, right? Correct? None of us perfect. Since the last time we're here, a day, a minute, an hour, hardly goes by that we don't commit some kind of a fault in our life. But here's Jesus, when that's happening, reaching down, drawing us to his bosom, to himself, holding us up, keeping us faultless, and presenting us to the Father. And Satan comes running into God. Look at that Christian. God says, what sin are you talking about? The blood of Christ has covered it, washed it away, made it clean. Three things. Know you're saved. Know you're kept by the grace. You cannot be unsaved. And know you can live by that grace. You got it? Make sure that you got it. We'll give you more of it next time. Okay? God bless you. Let's stand. We're going to sing a closing hymn. If you need that wonderful grace of Jesus to be saved by today, if you need that wonderful grace of Jesus because you're having trouble with a walk, if you need that for your assurance of your salvation, we want you to come to the altar this morning. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. And while the piano is playing, if God's speaking to your heart, slip out of your seat down here. If you need help, we'll get that for you. The wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus is here available for you. For whatever your problem is this morning, whatever it is, he could take care of Moses. He could take care of Lot. He could take care of Adam and Eve. The filthy, vile sin of Lot and his daughters. God, take care of that. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Our 470, our hymn of invitation. If God's speaking still, we'll meet you at the altar. Being here today. Did you say it was Ed that got wounded? Are you okay, Ed? Yeah, me too. That's the right place to hit us, right? So we're glad you're here and you're okay. Would you have our closing prayer this morning, please?